low-income people feed their families and heat their homes. You can find local folks at KBOO.FM. Go to audio, list of programs, podcast, web only, and click on local folks.
Does your employer have a matching gifts program? Many companies offer dollar-for-dollar matching charitable contributions for donations you make to KBOO. The impact of your gift may be doubled or possibly tripled. Participating companies also match gifts made by retirees and/or spouses. Matching gifts are a great way for you to maximize your membership dollars. Check with your company's human resources or accounting departments to find out if your employer matches charitable contributions, then request a matching gift form. For more information on companies making matching gifts, go to kboo.fm/employer matching.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Stuff to talk about, and here it is. December 27th. So, of course, you can call in and talk about the year 2018, what it's meant to you, and how it has played in the press, what stories have been covered sufficiently, what stories have been covered badly, and which stories haven't been covered at all. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Pope Francis issued a sweeping apology on Sunday for the crimes of the Catholic Church in Ireland. This is from the IrishWorld.com. It followed an early meeting with eight representatives of survivors of abuse the night before. At the residence of Ireland's papal nuncio, there was applause at the end as he read out his apology at the start of his mass in Phoenix Park, the scene of a much less humble papal visit in 1979 by Pope John Paul II. He told the more than 100,000 people who braved hours of exposure to the driving rain to be there for the Mass that he had victims and survivors of all sorts of abuses, including sexual abuse and the forced labor of places like the infamous Magdalen laundries. He said that he had also met some of the thousands and thousands of children taken from their unwed mothers and forcibly put up for adoption in Ireland. To those now aging and often elderly mothers of those children, he said it is not a sin nor shameful for them to seek them out and seek contact with their long-lost children. Big relief there, huh, mamas? I have a couple of these stories, and I'm going to ask you a pertinent question at the end of them. Pope Francis, continuing with the story, Pope Francis said, quote, "We ask forgiveness for the abuse in Ireland, abuses of power, conscience, and sexual abuse perpetrated by members with roles of responsibility in the church." He said, "In a special way, we ask pardon for all the abuses committed in various institutions run by male or female religious members of the church, and we ask for forgiveness for those cases of exploitation through manual work that so many young women and men were subjected to. We ask forgiveness for the times that as a church we did not show survivors of whatever kind of abuse compassion and the seeking of justice and truth through concrete actions. We ask for forgiveness. May the Lord keep this state of shame and compunction and give us strength so this never happens again and so that there is justice," end quote. Now, again, speaking for myself, this may sound familiar. And if it sounds familiar, it's because this has been going on and on and on, and things have not changed. More on that in a minute. Continuing with the article, eight abuse victims or survivors met Pope Francis for nearly 90 minutes at the home of Ireland's papal nuncio and expressed surprise that he had been so clearly shocked at the stories they told him. They are part of a campaign group comprising the Coalition of Mother and Baby Home Survivors in association with the Protestant Bethany Home illegal adoptions campaigner Teresa Heine, survivors and victims of institutional abuse in the Association of Mixed Race Irish. At the meeting, the Pope told them that those who had carried out abuse or facilitated cover-ups were, quote, S-word, end quote. Of course, I can't say what he said. I'm rather surprised that the Pope said that word. Returning to the article, campaigner Paul Redmond said they were told by Pope Francis that a group of elite clergy or a high church were blocking progress and addressing past failings. That grabs me too. Mr. Redmond said the Pope was clearly shocked and lifted his hands to his head in disbelief when he's confronted with their personal accounts of the abuse they suffered. They presented the Pope with a letter in English and Spanish, which said an estimated 100,000 single mothers had been separated from their children who were given to other families. Now, this from Radio Havana, Cuba. U.S. bishops are preparing for a meeting to address the sexual abuse crisis that has shaken the Catholic Church and undermined its credibility following a new report accusing them of underplaying the abuse epidemic. The growing sex abuse scandal is to be the main topic of discussion ahead of a summit in Rome convened for February by Pope Francis and organized with the help of Cardinal Blaise Kupich, the head of Chicago's Catholic dioceses. U.S. bishops are also preparing to meet for a retreat in January at the seminary near Chicago, Illinois. Matthew Schmaltz, an expert on the church and religious studies professor at College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts, said the church may never regain its lost credibility, and he's quoted on Radio Havana, Cuba, saying, certainly the bishops will face further pressure to follow through on transparency and reporting requirements, but their credibility has been so weakened that they are also facing the possibility that any effort they make will have little or no credibility, end quote. The increased public spotlight on the church comes at a time when church officials are facing ever more pressure from law enforcement to be more forthcoming. The top prosecutors in around a dozen U.S. states have opened criminal investigations. The Attorney General of the U.S. state of Illinois, Lisa Madigan, issued an explosive report last week accusing the state's Catholic dioceses of not releasing the names of at least 500 clergy accused of sexually abusing children. So this brings me to the question. Because I did this a moment ago and it failed, I'm going to try to look up an article I was finding on Wikipedia. And it was about, you know, the history of the Catholic, I'll type that in, Catholic abuse scandal. I'll just put in Catholic abuse. And there it is, Catholic Church sexual abuse cases. Just going from the top there, it says cases of child sexual abuse by Catholic priests, nuns, and members of religious orders in the 20th and 21st centuries, increasing especially after the Second Vatican Council, have been widespread and have led to many allegations, investigations, trials, and convictions, as well as revelations about decades of attempts by the church to cover up reported incidents. Now, speaking for myself, this is the part that reminds me of police departments. I often hear people respond to my reports on how police act in the United States with, well, not all police are like that. But all police cover for each other. And not all priests are like that, but all the priests cover for each other, evidently. At least most of them, I don't see them turning around. And so my question is, I'm interested, if you would like to call in and tell me, how you can remain Catholic. Because obviously it's not just an isolated problem. It's not a few bad apples. It's Child Abuse Central. By the 1990s, they write, the cases began to receive significant media and public attention, especially in Canada, United States, Australia, and through a series of television documentaries, Ireland. Skipping ahead from 2001 to 2010, the Holy See, the central governing body of the Catholic Church, considered sex abuse allegations involving about 3,000 priests dating back 50 years, reflecting worldwide patterns of long-term abuse, as well as the church hierarchy's pattern of regularly covering up reports of abuse. Now this takes place in, here I am in the United States. I've got all kinds of problems. But part of the problem, one thing that I've railed against for decades using this microphone, is the fact that the American people are just, well, frighteningly passive when it comes to hierarchy when it comes to authority. And when it comes to hierarchy and authority, well, the Catholic Church has kind of cornered the market. You get in there, they'll tell you what's up, what to do, and they're just absolutely sure they've got it right. And I'm just as sure. They don't. Something's very wrong. How can you be Catholic? The number to call, 503-231-8187. I'm not asking that to pick on you for being Catholic. I'm saying there is a huge problem. What are you going to do about it? Do you think you should just keep going to church? You going to pay in to the Catholic Church? Why? Now, when it comes to participating, say, in imperialism, mass incarceration, our participation is largely forced. We have to pay taxes. You don't pay taxes, they'll come after you. But you don't have to pay the Catholic Church. So why? Why do you do it? Just, it seems to me that, I can't find a reason. Maybe you've got an answer. Maybe you hope for reform, although it's pretty clear to me that you've got the Pope, you know, the authority of God on earth coming out and apologizing and then saying that the church hierarchy is too powerful for him to shift, evidently. What's it mean? All right, now, number to call, 503-231-8187. So feel free to call in on that and engage me. Tell me off if you think I'm going too far. I wanted to turn to something more encouraging, and that's the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is in a hell of a fight. The Democratic Party leadership doesn't want to do it and doesn't want to budge. Why? Because they have been elected for decades, year after year, by sucking up to the corporations, and the corporations don't want a Green New Deal. And I'm going to explain just exactly what the Green New Deal is shortly. This is something that the little computer problem I was having just before this, which seems to be kind of widespread. I was having a computer problem at home. I get here and the internet doesn't want to work too well, so maybe you're having trouble with it. Fortunately, you can listen to the radio. You can listen to this dancing radio wave broadcast instead of the internet. But I'll get around to what the Green New Deal is. But for the moment, I think it'll suffice to say that it is a new deal. It is priming the pump. It is jobs. It is infrastructure. And it is addressing climate change. From Huffington Post, article by Alexander Kaufman. Democratic leaders on Thursday tapped Representative Kathy Castor of Florida to head a revived U.S. panel on climate change, all but ending a dramatic month-long effort to establish a select committee on a Green New Deal. Now, that sentence may be a bit confusing because it starts off saying reviving a U.S. House panel on climate change. But the reason Nancy Pelosi is reviving the House panel is to distract attention from and power from Ocasio-Cortez's effort to establish a new committee that would actually get moving on a Green New Deal. New deal, so needed. People living on the streets, living on the sidewalks, you might be listening to me right now on a little battery-powered radio, trying to live in the cold on the sidewalk. This society has utterly failed you. Capitalism has utterly failed you. This is, you know, this is the bottom. This is the worst. And it's the worst for the society, too, because that constant marker that we have grown so used to of seeing people actually trying to survive in tents in this rich society is a clear indication that the society has failed. That's it. Proof. It's not a glitch. This is the way things are intended to be. This is what our leaders want. It's failed, and so we must overthrow it. So, an effort is being made to reform it with the Green New Deal, and that is so frightening that subterfuge is being undertaken. And this is the establishment by Nancy Pelosi of the Select Committee of blowing off the Green New Deal. Don't be fooled when they call it the Panel on Climate Change. Returning to the article from Huffington Post, Castor's appointment came as a surprise to proponents of the Green New Deal. The move also kicked off a controversy as the six-term congresswoman dismissed calls to bar members who accept money from fossil fuel companies from serving on the committee, arguing it would violate free speech rights despite weeks of protests demanding House Democrats focus efforts next year on drafting a Green New Deal. The sort of sweeping economic policy that scientists say matches the scale of the climate crisis, Castor told E&E News the plan was not going to be our sole focus. She then suggested that barring members who have accepted donations from the oil, gas, and coal industries from serving on the committee would be unconstitutional. Quote, I don't think you can do that under the First Amendment, really, unquote, she said. And she would say that because she has taken very substantial, very tasty contributions, tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars, from the oil, gas, and coal industry. I'll bet she likes it. And it certainly goes a long way to having a flush lifestyle and getting those television ads up so she can be reelected and reelected. So that's Kathy Castor coming up with this nonsense. I mean, as if you couldn't select your own committee under the First Amendment. Suddenly she cares about the First Amendment. Go occupy your office and see how much she cares about the First Amendment. Returning to the article, that reasoning echoes arguments. ExxonMobil Corporation, her First Amendment argument, made in court as recently as this year to defend its funding of right-wing think tanks that deliberately produced misinformation about climate science to stymie government action on global warming. Soon after the remarks were published, Castor walked back the statement in an interview with Huffington Post, calling it an inartful answer. But she said she did not know whether, as a chairperson, she could bar members on the committee from serving if they also accepted fossil fuel donations. Maybe that's a discussion we need to have in the caucus, Castor said. And speaking for myself, maybe that's a discussion we need to have in the caucus, Castor said, hoping to whatever gods she believes in that would be sufficient to dilute and divert press attention. So then I recall about the Green New Deal, or about the Catholic Church, if I've set you on fire about that. 503-231-8187, great time to call in. This is my favorite part of what we call the holiday season. It's like, it's between, you know, for me, Saturnalia got a good start off right around the solstice. Feels good, man. I like to think about the planet getting still and changing directions with the northern hemisphere now starting to head back towards the sun, promise of spring and all that. And, you know, got past the great big Christian holiday where the Pope was prominent, blessing everybody, bless this, bless that, and, you know, forget about the fact that we're child molestation central. And so all that nonsense passes. You got New Year's coming up, good party. Somewhere there's going to be a good party or parties, and I intend to be part of that. And so now we've got this slack, and the people, the academics and all the people who've really got the tasty jobs, they're off. They're off partying. They're out of town, a lot of them. And the streets are easier to get down, and it's quieter. And, man, I dig it. I love this time of year. But it also means that not that many people listening to the broadcast because it's, you know, the daily routine has been interrupted. So that means that you can call 503-231-8187 and get in easier than you could before. 503-231-8187. And go to the first caller. Hi, you're on the air. Jim's on the air.
Yeah, this is me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry for the bad connection. I got a little buzz on my phone.
Could be worse.
However, all I really wanted to mention was this whole situation with the Catholic Church. We talk about it going back 50 years, but we're missing the point. You know, I've done a lot of reading about California, the missions, the whole setup when Spain came over and tried to indoctrinate everybody and all that stuff. They abused the Indians. They abused those. That's 200 years ago. Both slavery, sexually, it's been going on for hundreds of years, and now all of a sudden today we have this whole, you know, awareness of it by today's standards, but it's like it's part of the system in that whole realm of things. And I was born and raised Catholic until I was in my 20s and started questioning the world and started reading more, but it's nothing new, and it's sad, but I guess that's the reason I've kind of leaned towards atheism. I kind of got away from that whole thing, and there's been nothing changes. And we hear about the sexual thing, but it's much more, you know, taking babies away from the unwed mothers and sending them out for adoption and slave trading in the within the church itself. It's no different than it was in the missions in California 200 years ago. It's sad, but I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
So you ain't going back, huh?
I ain't going back.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
You bet.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. And what I have to say about that is, yeah, absolutely. It's been going on for centuries. And one of the most important aspects of the institution of slavery in the so-called New World was a papal asiento. Pope said it was okay, came up with an excuse for enslaving people, and it just turned out to be very profitable. And when I say turned out to be, of course, I'm being very sarcastic. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I'll go to the next caller. Jeff is on the air.
Hey, I'm having internet problems too,
okay.
By the way. And I live up in North Portland. But, I mean, any religion that tells people that sex is not healthy and you should avoid sex is just, you know, it's ludicrous.
And yet they're known for sex. You know, I think the two things are connected. It's part of the hierarchy, denying your own natural urges and then channeling those urges into a perverted hierarchy in which, you know, they channel their urges when they feel like it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And then to twist that into, you know, making people perform, especially kids, you know, sex with them, and you know, it's more than I could even imagine, to be quite honest. You know,
if I can draw
a lot of what's happening, even with Trump, you know, all the stuff that Trump is trying to do, and it really looks like Pelosi. And this is going to be the big split between the left wing of the Democratic Party and the old corporate wing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's exactly what it is. And I think that I think Pelosi understands that, too. And she definitely wants to hold on to her power. And they have so much power that really, I mean, like the Occupy movement, all they have to do is dilute, infiltrate, and wait us out. And the momentum of the power as it is today will just
so
wash it out.
We can't put Trump back in there. We're going to hold our nose and vote for these Pelosi type people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
I mean,
I'd like
trying
to
vote
to call
for... between a it's a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, well, I think this is where we look to more than electoral politics. This is where we look to, you know, absolutely using what access we have to the media. Hello, KBOO. Get those ideas out there, organize, actually, you know, walking on the streets makes a difference sometimes, actually showing up.
Okay. Well, you go get them. Take care.
All right. Well, as long as you're going and getting them with me.
Okay. Cheers.
503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I've been talking about Catholic Church. I've been talking about Americans and hierarchy particularly. I mean, there are parallels I could see here. I could say, why do you let your kids, you know, go off with those priests? I mean, obviously, these molestation things aren't an isolated thing. They're incorporated in the hierarchy of the church and the Pope. In the article I was quoting from Irish Times, an Irish newspaper anyway, is saying that even he can't get a control on it. It's like the Catholic Church is so set in its child molesting ways that even the Pope openly admits that it's happening and says that there's powers other than him that keep it going. And that should shock the hell out of anyone. I find it very shocking. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that I'm not particularly sympathetic with the Pope. I mean, he's supposed to have absolute power. He should be firing them, or he should be fighting them if he's so freaking dedicated that he's the, you know, voice of God on earth. Then, you know, let him get out one of those rusty swords and take them on. I don't care. How about some moral action, Pope? There's parallels that I see with the way Americans act. I mean, Americans are just way into hierarchy. Snapping those salutes and singing at the flag at every opportunity and reciting the loyalty oath at sports games, which I think is just mawkish, if not degenerate. The things we get used to. And this is something that takes the place of virtue. And then you have someone who actually is virtuous, actually risks himself at a football game, risks his position, loses his position. Others join him simply by peacefully kneeling on one knee, and that's controversial. That tells you just how backwards this society is, inside out backwards, flipped around, insane. And this hierarchy in the Catholic Church is reflected. I talk about sending your kids to the priest. Well, people send their kids to the Pentagon, and I see the same trajectory over and over and over, even among the soldiers. Who have a great deal, more than a great deal, who have, you know, PTSD, deliberately induced PTSD from boot camp, forcing their loyalty. And even they will, after a few years, say, well, you know, I didn't know the truth when I went there to do the right thing with my machine gun, some foreign land. You can't do the right thing under imperialism. They find out the hard way. And that's why they drag them in as kids. So why do you let your kids go to the recruiter? Why do you let your kids go to the priests? Why are Americans so passive? Why don't we fight back? Why don't we start talking seriously about revolution and what that would look like? We'll get around to that a little more if we have time. But the number to call, 503-231-8187, and I'll go to Gabriel.
Hello?
Hello, Gabriel.
Hi, nice to meet you. So I've just been watching, really, I haven't finished it yet, but it's called Free State of Jones. It's a movie on Netflix.
Free State of Jones.
Yes, it's a historical movie, and it addresses the things you're talking about. I just wanted to say I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying as far as we need a revolution. I believe a bloodless revolution, because I'm a believer, and he says if I were of this world, then my servants would fight. I'm not against, like, having a trigger in my hand and letting him move me as a reaction to, like, protect somebody and kill, but it would be he that does the killing, not I, because he destroys and he creates. Anyway, I just wanted to encourage you guys to hit the streets. First time in my life, I have time and resources to go out and help the homeless, feed the hungry. Instead of trying to, like, start, I just closed my, it was called Unclouded Vision at LLC, I let it go, and I put an announcement that it's now closed, and I won't give my name of the other thing, but I have no interest other than helping people, and the money just keeps coming in from free gifts, not donations. Don means I own you. It's from Latin Lord. It's just, we've had so many false ideas come from the enemy. Anyway, I'm not getting into religion. I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. So blessings, shalom, and thank you for letting me be on the air.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Free State of Jones is a 2016 American historical period war film inspired by the life of Newton Knight and his armed revolt against the Confederacy in Jones County, Mississippi throughout the American Civil War. I had not heard of it before, so that's interesting, and that's the sort of thing you can get from a call-in show. I love that. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Talking about the Green New Deal, talking about hierarchy, talking about resistance, revolution, and I'll go to the next caller. Scott's on the air.
Hi. Nice to meet you. I have never called in. I'm having trouble with the internet up here in Vancouver, too. I agree with you on the Catholic Church thing, and what we got to remember is that these church hierarchies, and this applies to the Mormons, too, they all suppress women's bodies. I mean, look at... The Handmaid's Tale? You know, they want to control everything. And abortion is wrong, according to the Catholic Church. But these priests have been raping kids in all their orifices for hundreds of years. There's a movie called The Magdalene Diaries about these young girls that would get pregnant over in Ireland.
Yeah, I was just talking about that, and the Pope was apologizing for it. Go ahead.
These girls, after they gave up their babies and the babies get sold, they'd end up working in the laundry for the nuns for the rest of their lives in the movie, as I recall.
Yeah, and these patriarchal churches seem to have a message that basically women's attitude towards the world should be to apologize for existing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like I say, it's not... I've heard this about these super conservative Jews... And like I just said on the Mormons, and I'll let somebody else talk.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in.
Yes, thanks for being there. I love your show.
Appreciate it. Well, let me continue on this. There's some more news articles, and I want to promote this idea of the Green New Deal. I think this is a hopeful thing, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about it once the new Congress convenes, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the Blue Wave, the winning groups. Despite the Democratic Party's best efforts, Ocasio-Cortez did win her seat. The Democratic corporate-owned leadership hates her and wants to marginalize her as best possible. And since it's always worked in the past, until they hit Bernie Sanders and his habit of going out and saying the S word in public, it's worked well for them just to redirect attention. And they're really kind of hoping that you'll forget about socialism, forget about Bernie Sanders, forget about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and forget about the possibility that power could be seized from the corporations and thus from the Democratic leadership. But returning to InThesetimes.com, well, not returning to, but turning to InThesetimes.com, article by Jake Johnson in response to reports that the Democratic leadership is taking steps to revive a defunct climate change panel. Progressive groups and youth climate leaders warned that the move is an attempt by House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and others to kill the surging demand for a Green New Deal Select Committee, and called it a failure to fight for solutions on the scale we need to achieve a livable future. And I would just jump in there and say it ain't just a failure to fight for it. It's an attempt to fight against it. And we'll, you know, as I say, we'll have to see what happens in January when the real House fight starts. They quote Sunrise Movement co-founder Varshini Prakash, saying, "Without a mandate to create a plan and a requirement that its members don't take fossil fuel money, we are deeply concerned that this committee will be just another of many committees we've seen failing our generation our entire lives," end quote. Now, if you haven't heard of the Sunrise Movement, this is a movement of young people, very young people. We're talking high school. And they are very dedicated. And when you say, "Oh, well, we just need to wait," or "that's not possible," or all of the other excuses that the corporate-owned Democrats say, and, you know, the corporate-enthusiastic Republicans say, they say, no, we're going to move forward. And it's very refreshing. I encourage you to, if you can get on the web right now, go ahead and search Sunrise Movement. Sunrise Movement. And I think you'll start feeling better about things, because when the youth start moving, things can happen. And I think youth are very excited about this and about the Sunrise Movement. And returning to that article, as the Huffington Post reported, Green New Deal proponents were blindsided by Democratic leadership's appointment of Castor. Skipping ahead, the Sunrise Movement said it has reached out to House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi's office for an explanation and vowed to keep fighting for a Green New Deal as if the planet depends on it, because it does. Here again, I must interject and say it is the House soon-to-be Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi. So that's going to change, and this is something to look forward to 2019. Quoting the Sunrise Movement again, "Achieving the goals outlined in the resolution for a select committee on a Green New Deal are the bare minimum we will need to preserve life as we know it for our generation. Anything less from our political leaders is a betrayal of young people around the world," end quote. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Thank you for remaining on the line. We'll go to the next call. Doug.
Hey.
Hey,
what's
Doug.
Happening?
Radio's happening. You're happening.
I would just like to interject in the conversation that we are actually being controlled by the schools, you know. And I'm, as a teacher of many years, I look at the whole system. In the schools, they're indoctrinating quite heavily, and you know, any teacher that rebels against that, all they do is they just fire them and put them in administration like they did me, and then you know, so they appease the teachers that are opposed to the indoctrination, and so we've got a system that is based on the new kids coming up. And if the new kids coming up are indoctrinated like the Germans did, we're going to have even more problems in the future. So we got to go back to the kids. The schools need
when you say,
help.
Let me interrupt you. When you say indoctrination, do you mean just basically conformist, imperialist, corporatist indoctrination?
Well, yeah, and they're being fed all these lies and all these things that and very centralized knowledge rather than exposing them to or teaching them to think actually on was this right or was this wrong. I mean, they're actually trying to convince, I think, the kids nowadays that one leadership, one world leadership is the only way to go. And if we continue to go that direction, we're going to find out that we have another Hitler, you know, in a different form, more powerful than ever.
Well, I certainly agree that it's worthwhile to break indoctrination of our youth. And it's pretty encouraging to me. It's very encouraging to me to see this Sunrise Movement happening, because this means that the kids, the high school kids, the college kids, are looking things up themselves, are coming to their own conclusions, because Nancy Pelosi didn't tell them to do that.
Right. And then that's the only direction we've got to go. I mean, we've absolutely got to go to building confidence in the kids and letting them know that they can think and that they have power and that they can do things is so much better than going and promoting violence. Promoting violence just brings more violence. So, you know, we get these people fighting, and if you don't have anybody to fight against, then the violence kind of goes away. And I've seen them pitting people against people, you know, all over the place.
When you said that, it reminded me of something that's been in my mind over the last week. I was thinking of August 4th, standing on the curb confronting the fascists who are so enthusiastic for Trump, who are so enthusiastically embraced by the police department. And the police department was protecting them and confronting us. And they got, before any violence happened, they got on their very powerful loudspeaker and told the people trying to defend Portland against the fascists to leave or else be arrested. And it occurs to me that we should be ready for the next time this happens. This is going to happen again. The cops are going to protect their fascist buddies because they haven't changed. They're not going to change. And when it happens, I think next time we should just all sit down.
That's a good idea.
What the hell are they going to do then?
Resistance.
Yeah, they can't claim that we're attacking the fascists and we're sitting down.
Right, right. But, you know, years ago, I do remember the police department backing their horses into a whole bunch of people that were sitting down.
Oh, yeah, I got friends who have been stepped on by those horses. I learned how to deal with them myself.
So, you know, I think that we have to always be careful. But there's a lot of ways to do, you know, we need to get a police chief that is, you know, we thought everybody that was going to be liberal, and we found just another fascist. So we need to find somebody to head up the police department to make it really a police department.
Amen to that.
Yeah, that's an important fact or important part of the whole situation. I think that the people that have fair minds are coming together, and I think that they're realizing that they've got more power inside them than they have. So I think it comes back to a lot of confidence issues. If everyone would just rely on their confidence, be confident of themselves and knowing that they can make good decisions, I think that's very important.
I think you're right. Well, and I'd like to see the police department just entirely pensioned off. I think it would save money in the long term, especially if you look at the amount of money that's paid out to people who've been stomped by cops. Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Appreciate your call. You know, that took me down memory lane, too. I remember that the cops on the horses were getting to be such a problem. They're not. They don't have their horses anymore. So we won't be seeing those, I guess. I'm pretty sure at the demonstrations. Didn't see them last time. But people learned how to deal with the horses. One way to deal, if you're listening to me in a town that has police on horses, one way to deal with horses, if you want to get them out of your way, is to throat sing at them. You can't stand it. I don't know what it is, but the cops, I've noticed that. Cops coming at us with horses, and he just makes it sound like, whoa, and the horses are going to turn around, and the cops will try to stop the horses from turning around. The horses don't care. They're getting the hell out of there. Yeah, but not a problem in Portland. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And I've been talking about the Green New Deal, talking about hierarchies, talking about revolution. Good time. I want to talk about capitalism, too. Maybe it's a big bill just for a one-hour show. Well, we still got 20 minutes, so you can call in. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I'll go to the next caller. Woman's on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I was listening to the last caller about the passive resistance. I think that we should use music and big sheets. You know, coordinate the cell phones and blast a peaceful song or two. You know, like those people did in Angels in America. Block the fascists with your sheet and play music over them.
There were some good tactics on August 4th. I have frequently thanked on air the Antifa who had... One of the things that they had was, and there were people making music, I noticed.
But I mean,
the Antifas came up with a, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like people get ready, something that is appropriate for the occasion, not noise or something that's weak and wimpy, but something with a backbone to it.
Get ready. I can just hear that.
Yeah.
Well.
But anyway, I called to respond to the young man who was talking about those priests and everything, bothering children.
Uh-huh.
Boy, Teresa, when you think about how much maleness has taken over Christmas, this Christmas was different for me than all the rest. I actually analyzed it. I put on one side all the male stuff, and on the other side, the woman stuff. And on the woman's side, it just had young, innocent, virgin, child bride, poor and destitute. On the men's side, I had Saint Nick and Kris Kringle, King Winslet, Santa Claus, Drummer Boy. I mean, just do it in the privacy of your own self, and you will have pages of guys and dudes and Tiny Tim and Dickens and... And I think there's something psychological about why the males bother those children. And that guy was talking about what the ladies had to do what the men tell them to do with the Mormons and everything. Those kind of the way they run their churches with the women all covered up.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed those patterns. Those are the main churches that make such a big hoopty-do about a virgin birth, but I notice how they glossed over, did she say yes to what she knew about? Did she say yes? Because this is a young girl who's innocent, who didn't know what, and this thing is saying, all right, you're suddenly with child. And so we glorify that. We just gloss it over, and we just pay attention to the baby, not the mother. Did she give consent? And all this stuff that she went through. And then you can have such an imbalance of power in the whole Christmas story, if you ask me.
Yeah, you can't go admitting that women have the power of reproduction.
Yeah,
either to reproduce or to not. And
right.
that's the power that is constantly being trying to take away. I quite agree. Probably,
mm-hmm.
You know,
got
the three kings I was adding to your list. Probably those camels were even male. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they mailed up everything. When you listen to the Christmas songs, they're all mailed up. Very few. And then when you talk about Elizabeth, her cousin, well, she was old and too old to have a child and sterile. So you see, every time you put a female in this story, there's some kind of a weird twist with her, but all the guys are glorified. They come to look at a baby and ignore the woman, and it's just, there's something psychologically, socially damaging, I think, to us when you put these religions in the churches and start teaching them to just disregard a woman, her pain, her suffering, and just pay attention to these men.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a whole discussion. I mean, I agree.
I
mean, the Virgin Mary's role there is just to be absolutely pure and get the hell out of the way while, you know, the men get stuff done.
Yeah, I'm not even taking away from her pureness. What hurt me was, as being a survivor myself, I easily could see myself in that at 12 or 13 and somebody saying, well, I'm going to give you this gift. And, you know, so they're not ripping and tearing and blood sweat, and tears. And 9 months later, you got this present. I think that's horrible. It's scary to me. It's sad that we put these baby crushes and everything all out on these lawns celebrating rape because you changed the words around.
Whoa.
Social lube, that's what they did. Social lube.
Right. Okay, so you've done some thinking about this.
I'm going to let you go and let somebody else talk. But thank you, Teresa, for your show.
Thanks for calling in.
And for everything that you stand for.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. I hope it's not petroleum-based. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I've been talking about what to do about climate change and, frankly, capitalism. Capitalism has failed. Let's talk Green New Deal, because I'm anti-capitalist. I am a revolutionist. I'm an anarcho-socialist. But, you know, sometimes you get some substantial reform going and people start having in their lived experience, having their basic rights honored, respected, and then go further. And sometimes that can move pretty fast. So even as a revolutionist, I am in favor of the new Green Deal reform. You know, you hear me talking about Sanders, you hear me talking about Ocasio-Cortez, and that doesn't mean that I agree with their analysis or that I don't notice that some of their analysis just hasn't quite happened yet. And I was about to say, well, that's okay. Well, it's not entirely okay, but it's sufficient because they're moving towards socialism, and the first thing you got to have is people talking about and moving towards socialism. You got to have that movement. You got to have the imagination and the confidence to move forward, and that includes having a vision. And the first thing you got to do is know what the heck it is. Something besides capitalism. What is capitalism? Got to understand that before you can understand what socialism is. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And I'll check and see if we have someone waiting. And yes, we do. Okay, so go ahead. You're on the air. Elliot, you're on
the
air. Hello, Elliot.
Yes, because I strongly advocate for a Green New Deal and have a lot of contempt for the Catholic Church, I instead want to enlighten you about a misunderstanding you may have had for quite some time. As a doctoral student at Harvard, I knew Richard Herrnstein personally, and I totally disagreed with him politically, but there is a reason he was world famous, and it has nothing to do with politics or racism.
His book certainly does.
One of his students, a Polish girl named Meg Warzynski, you know, said in a falsetto voice one day as a joke, "Oh, Dick's a great guy. He's just a Nazi." But in actuality, you tend to confuse his one-time co-author Charles Murray, who outlived him greatly, with Dick Herrnstein. In 1971, Herrnstein and Noam Chomsky had a famous published debate in the pages of the journal Cognition, which I guess you might probably be able to access online. And he made a remarkable prediction. He said that because historically the working class was oppressed and a lot of genetically intelligent men and women, you know, were not given fair opportunity, that there used to not be so much of a biological caste system in society. But with the meritocracy, a lot of men and women who were really smart and given opportunity were going to be in the same schools and start marrying each other.
Was he asserting that there was a meritocracy? Was he asserting that there was meritocracy?
Inequality.
Gosh, you seem to be talking over me. Was he in fact asserting that there was a meritocracy, or was he using that term sarcastically?
No, he was asserting that post-1945, for the various reasons we're familiar with, a meritocracy was at least temporarily allowed.
Ridiculous.
And at that time,
where did he get that idea? I suppose it was hanging out with Murray, where he got his other racist ideas. I really don't have time to make excuses for Murray and Herrnstein. Their book has done tremendous damage. It's a pseudo-intellectual book. It's pseudo-academic. It seems to have good arguments because the premises of its arguments are absolutely false. And the name of the book is The Bell Curve. And whenever you see the bell curve in someone's library, and if it's not there in the section with the books to be absolutely studied for their jackassery, then you've got someone who is a racist or a crypto-racist. And that's the significant thing about Murray and Herrnstein.
Noam Chomsky and...
Okay, I've done enough of this. I mean, I'm sure you have a point to make, but this ain't the place to do it, so I'll ask you to call or write it some other time. Because I just don't have time to hear something good about Murray and Herrnstein. I mean, the salient point about their book, The Bell Curve, is that it's racist crap. Come on. Demonstrably. Long demonstrated, proven, and absolutely nailed down as racist crap. Worthless. Worse than worthless. Poisonous. So the number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And we're not talking about Murray and Herrnstein, because I've already had that conversation. We are talking about climate change, the Green New Deal, which I'm very excited about, the Sunrise Movement. I keep calling it the Sunshine Movement. It's the Sunrise Movement, a movement of kids, of young people who want a Green New Deal and want the society to move against poisoning ourselves and warming the planet to a hellish extinction. And I'm supporting them in that. I'm also bringing up socialism. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Go to the next caller. Hi, David. You're on the air. You there, David? Sounds like a high... Either you're on a highway or an aircraft carrier.
Sorry. I'm here.
Okay, what's up, David?
Yeah, I would say the problem isn't Catholicism, it's religion in general. I'm an atheist, but I come from a Jewish background, and if you read the Bible 5,000 years ago, the Hebrews used God as an excuse to slaughter their enemies, man, woman, pregnant woman, child, and the only people they wouldn't kill were the virgins. But as far as the hopeful, I hear a lot of gloom and doom, but I'm hopeful. I have a 19-year-old son, and he and his peers and his graduates from high school and his college buddies are all so much better than I am and our generation, and I'm hopeful. I think they're going to figure this thing out.
You're hoping that the Catholic Church will be figuring things out?
No. I shifted from the religion to the green thing. My son is 19 years old, and I think he and his peers will figure out the environment.
That was my bad. I got distracted for a second there.
Politically, I think they're a lot more politically engaged. They're a lot more sophisticated. They get beat up on as kids these days with their hair and their music, but they're really engaged. They're really thoughtful. They're really educated and intelligent. And I'm hopeful for the future. I think they have it figured out. They'll get it figured out.
Well, yeah, I think it's just the whole thing is very encouraging. And I like it that there is a focus. You know, whatever the Green New Deal turns out to be, at least we have something we can call it. We can move together on it. The kids are organizing in their high school classes about it. This means that there will be public demonstrations about it. And I'm hoping that Nancy Pelosi will fail in trying to distract attention from it and hold her Never Mind pro-corporate committee.
Yeah. Well, you have a good day.
Thanks for calling.
Sure.
To abolish our systems of oppression, to build a better world, we must first be able to imagine destroying or rapidly dismantling the system we live in, and we must be in the process of developing the vision of what our new society will look like. Abolishing apartheid, abolishing whiteness, shutting down mass incarceration, paying reparations beginning with housing and economic participation, stewardship of all national parks and federal wilderness to the indigenous, abolishing imperialism, shutting down the Pentagon, withdrawing imperial troops, shutting the bases, abolishing capitalism, stopping the destruction of the earth, abolishing consumerism, abolishing suburb commuting, shutting down the refineries, stopping the jet industry, establishing socialism, embracing inclusion in a society of equals, abolishing housing deprivation, introducing local collective farming, redistributing wealth, abolishing billionaires. And those two are definitely connected. That covers a lot of ground. But I think you get to this point of the year, and the Earth is pointing the northern hemisphere away from the sun and just starting to come back.
It's a great time to dream things forward. That's what I'm encouraging here. 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And let's see what we've got next. Jared's on the air.
Hey, Teresa.
Hey.
So after sitting through a Christian Christmas performance last week and or during Christmas and seeing how much like propaganda and like just the culture that they put on people to like for them to believe this stuff is like it was like mind bending to me, and then I was like, this is just a big cult here. I'm just sitting in like a big cult meeting. And
yeah, I often think that at football games.
And then I came away from that, and the next morning I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about American culture, and the first word of culture is cult. And we are like seriously in this consumer cult here, and we're trying to broadcast that all around the world, and it's like we're all cult members, and it's hard to get, you know, it's like that's the hard part, you know, it's like we got to like figure out how to get out of the cult, you know.
I have to agree. You have to decolonize your mind before you can move forward, certainly.
Yeah, that's all I got, man. Culture is the practice of bringing people into the cult, you know?
Right on.
So, anyways, you have a happy new year, man.
Thanks for calling in. Michael Yates, writing in Counterpunch, says, some take a class-first approach in addressing capitalism. And they criticize those who place an emphasis on race and gender as engaging in an identity politics that often shades into support for neoliberalism that has wreaked havoc on working people for the past several decades. Others maintain that capitalism has, from its inception, been racialized. So that we cannot speak of capitalism alone, but must add that it has always been a racial capitalism. Scholars make similar arguments about gender, pointing out that capitalism has been patriarchal from the beginning. One analyst says, to me, it's straightforward, quote, class is a social relationship that is structured by race, gender, sexuality, nationality, and a whole range of other determinations. Race is the modality in which millions of people inhabit their class experience. Their identity politics will often be the precise way in which they fight a class struggle, end quote. And I bring that quote in to make the point that I'm calling for revolution, but I cannot call for a revolution from whiteness. We have to follow people who actually have skin in the game, pun intended. We have to follow people of color. If we want revolution, the attempts to do this from white saviorism have failed and will always fail. And I think I have time for one more call, 503-231-8187, and Victoria's on the air.
Well, good morning. I thought I'd leave you with some thoughts for the new year.
All right, then.
The first thing is the other night we watched the documentary I'm Not Your Negro, which I recommend to everyone. It's a very thought-provoking film. And in particular, he gets that Baldwin not only goes on the surface of issues, but he also goes deeper than that. And he talks, you know, you think of him as a, you know, very famous black intellectual, but he also asks all of us to look within. In other words, it was very interesting, and I'm going to watch it again because the way his ideas are presented, you just can't take it away at a first glance. So that's one thing. The other thing is when we talk about capitalism, you know, all you have to do is stop buying stuff.
Oh, I think you need to do a lot more than that to take down capitalism.
Well, I know that, but that's okay, my husband and I live on, you know, probably less than $25,000 a year, and we're not afraid to tell people that. Most people in this country are afraid to say how much or how little they make.
Oh, you're so right, because we buy into that class status.
You got it.
As if that were a virtue. And you're right. I mean, you can stop buying things. I was thinking about getting I want a reclining chair because my back is so bad. And I thought, well, I'll look in the free column first on Craigslist, and there they are, free recliners. And they're just,
yeah,
you know, they're nice ones,
great.
Too. They're leather. It's just like there's no reason for me to spend a cent. I'll just go get it.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that there's, you know, there's always the, you know, that's a kind of a certain kind of resistance that shakes people at their foundation if you really talk to them about how you use what wealth you have. And anyway, it's just the two. And the third thing I'll mention for the year. This is a book I wish I would have read. When it was written in 1981. Deer Hunting with Jesus.
Deer Hunting with Jesus. We'll have to leave it at that because the music has started, which means that I am on my way out of here. Thank you very much for calling in. And I agree with what you're saying there. Well, much more to say. And, of course, I'll be back next week. Right now, we're coming up on Flashpoints at 10 o'clock with Dennis Bernstein at 11. Between the Covers, the book White Dancing Elephants will be discussed at 11:30, the film show. All of these KBOO programs made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go right now to kboo.fm and click on Donate. And don't forget, that money can come back at you in just a couple of months in tax season. How about that? You've just got a few more days left to do that. You've been listening to kboo.fm. Going out to all the ships at sea.
So this is Christmas.
On Monday, December 24th, Prison Pipeline hosts will feature your holiday messages to your loved ones in prison, as well as greetings from prisoners for those on the outside. Email your message to kboppc@gmail.com or snail mail your holiday message to KBOO Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. Then tune in on Monday, December 24th at 6:30 p.m. Again, that's kboppc@gmail.com or mail KBOO Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. And happy holidays from the Prison Pipeline Collective every Monday evening at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Khmer Radio is proud to co-sponsor a screening of the film From Shock to Awe, A Journey of Hope and Transformation on Thursday, January 10th at 7 p.m. at Regal Cinemas, Pioneer Place in Portland. The film hosts the path of two combat veterans from the Iraq War as they live with post-traumatic stress, the lack of effective treatment, and their search for healing. This is a crowdsourced event and tickets are currently available for purchase. There will be a brief Q&A following the film. Again, that's a screening of the film From Shock to Awe, A Journey of Hope and Transformation on Thursday, January 10th at 7 p.m. at Regal Cinemas, Pioneer Place, 340 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.